Now, let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and that is your hour. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, co-host and the producer of the program, along with Gary Baker, Ed Verdell, and Shane Hamlin. We're here in this hour to answer your questions. That's right. That's what this hour is all about. That's what we call it, your hour. 800-859-0957 is the phone number. And it's your opportunity to ask somebody who's had a lot of years of experience the question about your printer, computer, or whatever it may be. Gary Baker, Ed Verdell are in studio here, ready to answer your questions. And here's the number once again, 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. And waiting patiently for us in Grosse Pointe Woods is Bruce. Bruce, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Well, thank you. I'm a pleasure to talk to you, gentlemen. I love your show. I have a question. I am currently a Windows Phone user, one of less than 1% people still on that platform.
My wife is, by the way, the other person who's on.
I think Shane has a Windows Phone.
No, I used to.
Oh, used to. Yes.
And I love how it integrates and migrates to my tablet, my desktop.
Yep.
And I wonder what your thoughts are if Windows is still looking at supporting it. I see that they're talking about a Surface Phone in 2020. Mm. I've got a family that's all using ISO, Android. I have experienced Apple tablets, Android tablets, and I prefer the Windows 10 platform. I was just wondering if Windows does disappear, what do you feel would be the best way to migrate into a different system, and what would be your choice if I had to do that?
Good question. Well, I think Shane is the person to answer that.
Yeah, but actually, they're thinking of coming out with the Surface Phone. I don't think the decision has been made, but that's a Windows phone. That's a Windows platform.
Correct. And I think maybe this week it leaked that it might be ready by the end of this year.
Oh, really?
I've heard that.
Because Bruce had said 2020.
Yeah.
That's
a little ways away. Mm. I think, who knows what we're going to be using in 2020.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. But, so what did you do?
I went to Android. You know, it was either Apple or Android. And the biggest thing with me is I did love the integration with my Surface tablet and my Windows 10. It was beautiful, the phone. The problem is, just like everyone else, I got sick of no apps. I didn't have it. You know, everyone's doing this or that, and I couldn't do that. But my emails were synced, you know, but it goes so far. I went with an Android.
Cheaper than the iPhone.
Yeah, and the iPhone to me feels like a toy to me. Mm-hmm. It just does. You know, how do I go back in this dang thing? You know, the Android is more. If you're used to a Windows environment, the Android is the next progression for you.
Also, the iPhone.
And do you feel there are? Microsoft is developing programs for Android and mm-hmm. ISO. So, do you feel that I'd be missing much if I switched over? I mean, obviously, would I still be able to transfer my. My emails and everything through Outlook on an Android. Then.
You will be missing zero.
Yeah, you won't miss
it. You will still be able to download Microsoft Outlook to your phone. You will still be able to download Word, Office, all those things you'll still be able to use. In fact, you'll have zero transition problems.
Okay.
No, that's the good news. And yeah, it's interesting. You're talking to somebody who's had to do exactly that.
It'll be cheaper than the iPhone.
Yes.
There's about, what, it's about 75-25 now. 75% installed base mm-hmm. is Android, and about 25 is iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I love the iPhone. I've had this, I think, my fourth one.
That's because they keep breaking. No, I'm just kidding.
But they keep upgrading and go. I missed a couple, but I think I'll probably upgrade to the next one.
Yeah, the next one's coming. Ed, you are strictly Android, right?
I am, but I have to support a lot of people that prefer the iPhones. And Mac OS is, oh my gosh, don't even get me started on supporting those in a corporate environment.
Yeah, that's hard.
Because there's so many limitations when you're dealing with legacy applications and stuff like that. Financial applications.
I have a friend in the new company Cyber that I've joined, and he would not take the standard issue Dell computer from the company. He wants to use his Mac. We're going, why? He said, well, I just like it better, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like every time we want to do something, I can't do that. Right. Oh, I can't connect here. Oh, I can't do that, because he's trying to connect to the company environment with a, you know, with a Mac, and it just doesn't work.
That's still going to be a problem.
But the transition from a Microsoft phone to the Android or even an iPhone is pretty seamless nowadays, but is much there, better than it was 3 years ago.
Is there a listener still there?
Yeah, Bruce.
Bruce?
Yeah.
Oh, who's your service provider?
Service provider is Verizon.
Verizon. If you know, everyone has the Samsung, you know, Android phones. If you're looking for an alternative, just don't want to be one of the sheeples, you know, the sheep. Look at an HTC phone. If you're looking at an Android phone, look at an HTC. HTC makes a really good phone, solid phone. They tend to have really strong glass on them. They're a little bit more rugged than
some of those. Glands?
Glass.
Oh, okay.
They're a little bit more sturdy than some of those Samsungs, and the picture quality. And I know they've got a new one that just came out called the Ultra, and I think you're going to like it.
Okay, Bruce.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for your call.
That was a great endorsement on the HTC. Because didn't HTC also make some of the Windows phones as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And HTC made a lot of the Palm devices years and years ago.
So little cash
been around for a long time.
Ron from Dearborn, we'll be with you in just a moment, by the way. We're about to take a break, so I don't want to start a call before we jump into the break. But the number, folks, is 800-859-0957. We're here until 6 o'clock, and our mantra is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And we've got some folks in the studio here ready and willing to take your calls. As Mr. Gary Baker, Andrew Dillon, Cal Carson.
And I wanted to...
Shane Hamlin.
And I wanted to say, you've tickled my interest on this note you have on the notes here, the USB killer stick. And we'll talk about that when we get back.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's like a spy novel. It's not a spy novel. It's for real. Coming back with that in just a moment. Again, our phone number, 800-859-0957. You heard the young lady. There's the phone number, 800-859-0957, and our crew is standing by, waiting for your questions. Ron from Dearborn, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we serve you?
Well, I guess I got to replace my Vista laptop.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been looking at new machines, and I'm wondering, like, how much RAM should I get, and what kind of... Like, do I need to make a recovery disk on this on the new ones? How do I set it up?
What are your uses? What do you think you're going to use it for?
Mostly I just surf the web and email and YouTube.
Okay.
Yep. And so, Ron, I think you wrote us an email about this morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I just forwarded that to Shane. I said, Shane, we're going to have to answer this. If we don't get enough callers, we can use this one of our listener questions, and you can answer it. So I'm gonna throw a softball to Shane because I know what I would say.
Well, I mean, you're gonna want to take your first step, and you should always have done this: is make sure your data that's on your Vista machine is backed up and secure.
Yeah, it is.
You know, is it on the cloud somewhere?
No, it's on an external drive.
Well, to me, that's not secure. I mean, because something can always happen. I can't tell you how many times I've walked in with an external drive that doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be a little bit redundant and get yourself some kind of cloud storage if you can. And that's going to help you in the long run anyway. It doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah, is this desktop or a laptop?
I got a laptop. I want a laptop.
Good.
And then pretty much, you know, the computer's prices have come down so much. You know,
yeah, obviously. I've seen that. I've seen them for around $300 up to $700 or $800.
Yeah, be careful not to go and grab that, you know, Walmart $299 special, because you'll be regretting it in about a year. Because, you know, let's be realistic, you pay for what you get, and that's always been the rule of thumb. You know, there's a reason why the machine is $299, right?
Yeah.
It's an i3 or less or something.
You know, cheap hinges, plastic, a lot of plastic, off-brand hard drives, off-brand RAM, you know, things of those kind of nature.
Well, I leave it on my desk. I don't carry it with me, and I don't, you know, it just sits there.
Yeah, I mean, no joke. I mean, some of these cheaper, because it's not the same as it used to be. Toshiba's not the same company as they once were.
Oh, no.
I mean, they're just, I've seen them deteriorate just sitting there.
Right.
In fact, we've had one explode in our
office. Really?
We've had one explode in our lab just sitting there.
But he could get one. He could get something pretty reasonable, an i5 processor. Yeah. How much RAM?
It's 4 to 8 gigs of RAM, somewhere in there.
At least
probably,
8.
Yeah. I would probably do 8, yep.
I mean, I just recently sold a Lenovo i7. with 8 gigs of RAM for $425. Yeah, and so that's an i7.
Good deal.
I mean, you know,
wow,
that was brand new.
Now, touchscreen or no touchscreen?
I would. You know what? It all depends on yourself. But in my opinion, you like touchscreen.
I love touchscreen.
I don't use touchscreen. To me, it's useless. And I will say this: I've seen touchscreens come in for repair, and it's expensive. It's not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cheap. You know, I mean, because, you know, the year warranty only lasts you a year, and then after that...
I've never had one go bad on me.
Yeah.
But,
well, was it the touchscreen that went bad or the LCD that went bad?
Well, it's either the digitizer is all part of the... Because it's very hard to... When you go to separate them, a lot of times they destroy each other.
I got so lucky with my sons. They were actually... It was actually... it just lifted off.
You got lucky.
Mm-hmm. I got lucky. Wasn't glued.
Some of them that are glued, when you're ungluing them, they tend to destroy one another.
Yeah.
But I like them, and I would, with a Windows 10 machine, I would get a touchscreen.
Now, what's the price difference? $50, $100 difference?
No. They're probably, well, they'll soon be a little cheaper because there are going to be more of them than there are non-touchscreen.
Well, I was just wondering if you got a comparable system, one with the touchscreen, one without, the difference is like 50 to 100.
The last two that I bought, one for a friend, one for my wife, it was cheaper, but it might have been cheaper for other reasons.
Now, how about laptops with DVDs or Blu-rays? They're becoming rarer and rarer.
I don't think you can buy one.
Yeah, I don't. I've not a single laptop in my store that has a DVD ROM.
I haven't seen one.
I mean, they're just. There's no point anymore.
Yeah, why?
It just doesn't exist.
Yeah,
you know.
So, are you a fan of solid state?
Of course, yeah. I mean, solid state drives are nice.
We're not going to see them.
Over two gigs?
No,
there are
1 terabyte.
Yeah, well, there's more than 1 terabyte.
Oh, I bet there is. But there's a price point.
They're
so
expensive.
250 to 500 gig is about reasonable.
Right now, we've decided not to buy any traditional SATA drives anymore in
our
store because the price is almost becoming. I can get a terabyte SATA drive. I mean, terabyte hybrid or I'm not hybrid a
solid state.
Or 500 gig solid state. For almost the same price.
Right.
Wow.
And you're going to keep all your content in the cloud anyway.
And I tell you what, when people pick up their machine and we've upgraded them to a solid state, it's amazing how happy they are because it's
so much faster.
The speed is incredible. So, are you thinking,
is the life on a solid state drive better than a regular one?
I don't think there's a limit on a solid state drive.
I'm having fewer computers come back with disk failures.
Yeah.
With that, now that we've gone all solid state in the corporation I work for, my full-time job, than I did before. I mean, when we had the mechanical drives, the click, 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 I mean, you'd run across 2 or 3 of those a week easily.
Wow.
And now, I think the last solid state I have, I think 1 in 6 months. And we're talking 80,000 people, you know.
Wow.
I mean, to be honest with you, the days of you have to have a 500 gig hard drive are over. You don't need a big hard drive.
Right.
In fact, I'll throw a 250 or 120 gig solid state in a computer all day long because I'll make sure they're educated enough to use the cloud and utilize the storage.
And if you're using Windows 10, you would use OneDrive, right?
OneDrive, correct. Right. And OneDrive is wonderful because once you've set up your Windows account, it syncs everything up very nicely, and you don't even realize you're using it.
So, Ron, are you picking up some of these things as we're going through here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. So we're talking about and the price range and what we've been talking about.
I say the price range for myself and what I get some of my customers in is probably between $400 and $500. That's the sweet point for me right now. That's where you're going to get a really nice machine. Yep. And if you really shop it, you might be able to get yourself a nice business-grade model for that and not a retail unit.
Shane, you weren't in last week, but I was saying that I have found that I go shopping online, kind of figure out what's out there, and then I go into, you're too far away for me.
Yeah.
You're over, an hour away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'll go into Best Buy. I found cheaper machines at Best Buy. I just helped a friend of mine, and he was saying that, you know, he wanted to buy this machine, but it was a little more than he wanted to pay. And they said, well, we have one in the back that's got a scrape on it, right?
Blemish, yeah.
Yeah, so they went in and they got it, and he polished it out so it wasn't even there.
Yeah.
And then the key fell off, unfortunately, and he took it back and he got a new, brand new one that didn't even have the idea of the blemish. I don't know why the key fell off, but in fact, the Best Buy, it was just easy. Got it back the same day. You know, took it in, got another one right then. And it was just easy. I'm really a proponent. I think I bought the last 4 or 5 now, either for my friends or myself or family, at a local store.
Yeah, not everybody has, you know, an Ed or a Shane or a Gary to go shopping with.
Right,
so when you get a chance to go, you know, hopefully you have a local internet store.
What do you think? Now, it's interesting you mentioned that because I had a friend who lives way up in Harrisonville, way up north near Rogers City, I think it is. She was down visiting, and she went into Costco and found something for, I think, $450, $500, and it was a very nice little machine. What do you think of those stores?
I'm a little concerned of that.
Here's the thing. If you're educated enough to walk in and know what you want to buy and buy it, then you can go ahead. But
it's always a step back, and there's always something funky about the components.
Yeah.
And that's been my experience. I look at everything and go, oh, this is great. And then I look at the video card and I went, I never buy that video card, right? So that's why I'd go to a Best Buy or a Shane's company or somebody like that.
Very rarely do I have someone walk into a store and know exactly what they want without needing some help and guidance, you know, and showing them the differences between the models.
By the way, Ron, is the value of a local store, whether it's Shane's store, which is
Comptech Services in Sterling Heights,
or it's one of the other ones out there. If it's locally owned, that's the best place to go. So, Ron, thank you very much for your call. Jared out in South Lyon will be back with you and the rest of you at 800-859-0957. If you are sitting at home right now and you've got a problem with your computer and you haven't called in yet, shame on you. You've got lines open right now at 800-859-0957, and we are just itching to take the opportunity to take some time to answer your question.
And we don't really mean shame on
them. Did you say Shane on you or shame?
Shane on you.
Like a sick Shane.
He'll be all over
sick
you. Ed, before we get back to where Jared, hang on a second. You had something about a killer USB?
Yeah, you mentioned this, and I had no idea what it was, so I had to look it up. So basically, a USB killer stick just got worse. So this is apparently on the market right now, and people are throwing it way out of proportion. But basically, you plug this USB stick into any computer, and it will fry just about that computer. And what it is, it was made for security experts or people that need to destroy data really quickly on their computer.
Spies.
That's what it was developed for, and that's what the website sells it for. And what it does is it stores up an electrical charge, and then after it reaches that charge, it feeds it back into the computer and fries the circuits of the computer.
That's some movie stuff.
It is.
And it costs about, what, $40, I think?
Yeah, really cheap.
Oh, that's...
I mean, you do not want to give your 5-year-old child one of those by accident.
No, it's like a nuclear weapon.
Couldn't you just take a lamp cord and cut it off and then have it handy when you need it to plug in and just spray it to the USB? It would do the same
thing. Probably do the same thing.
It's all about saving money here.
Hello to Jared from South Lyon. Thank you so much for your patience, and welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Now, that's a terrifying concept right there, to plug it in and kill your computer.
Isn't it? Oh, my goodness, for $40, here, kill your computer.
or your friends, yeah. I guess it wouldn't be.
Or your friends, yes.
I've been in the market for a new phone. I've had a Droid Max since it came out, essentially, and I found the Moto G5 Plus. I see it's coming out in March sometime, and I was wondering how that compares across the market, and if you guys happen to know the release date for that here in the U.S.,
Boy, you know, I heard about it, but I really didn't look into it. I really haven't kept up with the mobile phone aspect of it at all. So you're talking about the Motorola's coming up with the new G5, right?
And
all I've seen is the news clips, unless someone else in the studio has been keeping track. What do you know about it? So maybe you can enlighten some of our listeners about it, and why are you interested in it?
I've been looking for a mid-range smartphone because I really don't want to pay $700, $800, $900 for a Samsung or something like that. And basically from what I found, I looked on GMS Arena, and they've got all the specs and a whole bunch of other things for a lot of devices. And it looks comparable to the Samsung 7. It's only like $229.
$225 is what I was seeing. I was seeing $225, yeah.
Yeah, because Motorola really has to do something. I mean, really, their last big phone, and correct me if I'm wrong, was like the Motorola Razr, and they came up with the Razr running Android, and that was sort of like, some of them are good, some of them are bad, and then I hadn't heard of them.
That's when it was Droid. That's when.
Oh, the Droids. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a stylish. It's a pretty phone. The new Moto 5. What is the 5 Plus?
Max. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, it looks like this spring is kind of a hodgepodge. A bunch of different phones are released in this spring that are going to, you know, the Moto 5 Plus, the new HT Ultra that I was telling you about, right. That's actually just released. And then Samsung's going to be releasing.
Oh, they're 8?
Yeah. The Windows, Samsung 8, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we've got some phones that are be in market with each other. And you know what? It all depends on yourself.
Boy, at $225, you know, that's a great price.
It is. No, it's cheap.
Good Lord, yes.
But, you know, I always worry, again, like I always say about laptops, you pay for what you get. There's $225 for a reason. Why? What's the difference there? Why am I getting a phone that's $700 and why is one $225? You know,
yeah,
did they all of a sudden
the Samsung mainly just has the top-of-the-line products in it, and they're competing with Apple, of course, so they can appeal to that market.
Yeah, but. Yeah. Because I would, you know, the price is there, but, you know, take a look at all of them. Go out there and feel them. Put it, because you're not going to know until you get it in your hand. You know,
exactly.
I've seen some phones that I absolutely would want it, and I went to the store, I got it in my hand, I thought it was going to slide out. You know, they're slippery, or they're too bulky, or they're too big.
Yep.
You
know, or that power button just isn't quite right.
Right.
Yeah.
Get it in your hand, play with it, use it, and see what, you know, most companies will allow you to get a phone and return it. You know,
what carriers do these things work with? Are they
it works for all four. Yeah. The Motorola website says that it's unlocked for all the U.S. carriers. Yeah. So
nowadays, most phones, you can pretty much go anywhere with them.
Okay, so you could take a Moto G Plus, this G5 Plus, into
AT&T,
Verizon, whoever else.
T-Mobile.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else. Well, Jared, I'd be very interested in hearing what your results are when you do that.
Okay.
Give us a call.
Once I get it, I'll try to make sure I call you guys back if I do pick it or if I don't.
Or send an email in and we can share that with our listeners as well, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for calling. All right. The number, by the way, again, is 800-859-0957. Lines are open right now until 6 o'clock. We'd love to talk with you about your concerns, whatever that may be. And if you've been, you know, holding off asking the question because you've been listening to the answers we've had for somebody else, or you're just kind of, you know, fidgeting around there and say, I don't know if I want to ask, do it. Very often you help a lot of other people when you ask your specific question. Guys, we had a question that came in via email that while we're waiting for somebody to take advantage of our open lines here, and they're starting to call at 800-859-0957. The question was about Windows Defender. One of our listeners, David, purchased a laptop a few months ago, and it came with McAfee antivirus and anti-spyware. It must have been one of those temporary free things, because my laptop now tells me that the McAfee protection has ended, and that rather is rather typical. The security section of the laptop states that Windows Defender has been activated in place of McAfee. That, by the way, guys, am I right, is kind of the thing that happens automatically.
Automatically, yeah, on the Windows security in the background.
Right, exactly, because thank goodness for that. The statement wants me to purchase... Oh, then there's a statement that pops up and wants me to purchase McAfee to protect my computer. Well, that's because you had it on beforehand and it wants you to continue buying. So his question is, will Windows Defender protect me from viruses and spyware? How do you answer?
That's all I run on my computers at home now is Windows Defender.
Yep, protects me. That's what I run.
Same here.
Yep. I mean, and if a person is not happy with that answer, then they can investigate through their internet service provider
and get it for free, right?
Get it for free.
Yeah, I tend to run one other. I run Malwarebytes ransomware protector that runs live because ransomware is so big right now.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't aware of that. So they offer a free product for ransomware?
Yeah.
No way.
Wow.
So why didn't you let the Internet Advisor team know about this, Shane?
I just did. There you go.
Wow.
So Malwarebytes has a tool now. It's called ransomware.
It's ransomware fixer-upper. It will live block. Let's be honest with you. Nothing's 100%. You know, nothing's going to keep that off 100%, but if it's there, it helps.
And the Malwarebytes has such a good reputation. It's a good track record.
I will tell you that I use...
And they're good people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had Mission on.
Yeah.
So I use Malwarebytes once in a while, and it I just go through it. I manually update it, make sure it's in up to date, and then I'll run it. For the last three or four times, it's come up with nothing. I just, nothing's, and I never had a problem. I wasn't running it because I had a problem.
Yeah,
Defender.
I did my Mac, and it helped.
Really?
It so did.
Defender's just doing such a great job. It's keeping that stuff out.
So I don't have that on my Mac, but thank heavens for it being on the Windows machines. Dave, we're happy to have you with us. Tell us how we can help you here on the Internet Advisor. Hello, Dave.
Hello, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Dave.
Hey. Yeah, I've got the old Toshiba laptop with the Vista. I can't use the internet on it, so I picked up a Samsung Galaxy 2 notebook tablet.
Uh-huh.
Refurbished, slow as can be. And I guess it's got the bloatware or something, they say, with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been looking at maybe an Apple iPad Pro 12.9-inch with 128 gigabytes, refurbished, or should I go just to a laptop?
What are you going to use it for?
I do a lot of, like, email, YouTube, internet.
Just surfing around. Okay, nothing, no super editing.
No engineering, no gaming, none of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I
not really. You know what I do like to use is like database.
Yeah. Okay.
Spreadsheets.
Yeah. That's database and spreadsheets are two different things. So are we talking like using Excel? That kind of stuff?
Yeah.
I could be fine with Excel.
So are you going to want to plug in any kind of USB-driven device? Because there's no USB port on an iPad.
That's why we asked the question about the iPad, because there's no USB port there.
I wouldn't get one for that reason. We haven't. Why don't you hang on?
Yeah, hang on,
Dave. Hang on. We're gonna talk with you during the break too to find a little bit more about that and wrap things up on the other side. Hang on for just a second, please. And we've got Bob from Sterling Heights and Mike from Taylor. We'll get to you two guys before we wrap the program up as well. Thank you for calling in here on the Internet Advisor. It is time for me to make my weekly acknowledgement of the folks that make the program happen behind the glass, as we say. Mike Stats, thank you so much for your help engineering. And Logan Sandifer for being our producer. Thank you so much for being the pleasant voice answering the phone on the other end. All right, let's get back to our phone lines and talk with Bob from Sterling Heights. Bob, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you today?
Okay, thank you, guys. About a year ago, I had to put Trend Micro on my Windows 7. I had a virus, and they were helping me get rid of it. And it just expired, the Trend Micro, and I tried to put the program back on for Windows 7, the security package. And during the setup wizard, it said to close down the other present antivirus program.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I did that, it had to shut down the computer to reboot. And, of course, when I came up, the wizard was gone. And when I go into all programs, I'm not showing the other program.
So how did you
the
shut
Trend
down
Micro? Excuse me, you mean the Trend Micro?
No, Defender.
Right.
No, he said the old Trend Micro, which was expiring.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you shut it off? Did you actually go and uninstall it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so that's why it's not there. And, and how were you attempting to upgrade it? Did you download the software from Trend, or did you purchase a DVD or CD?
He wants to get rid of Trend and go back to Defender.
Oh, MSE. He wants to go back to MSE.
Oh, I completely misunderstood that. Okay, so you've uninstalled it.
Right.
Okay.
And then Microsoft Security Essentials, are they on? They're not on automatically on Windows 7, are they? Well, no, you have to download it, I think.
Yeah, you have to download it.
Yeah, so they had taken it off when they put Trend on. And then when I tried to put it back on from Microsoft, I went through the wizard, and then the wizard said you have to shut down your previous program, which I had.
Yeah.
And it also said that I had to restart my computer to get rid of that program.
Yeah, okay. Correct.
And, of course, when I did, and the computer came back up. The wizard wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I went into all programs, and I couldn't find the Microsoft program to go any further.
MSE, okay.
Yeah, it's not going to be there. You're going to have to
download it.
Again. What version of Windows is this?
Seven.
Okay. By chance, you might have a message in your bottom right corner, like a notification message that says something in regards of, you know, your Defender or your Windows security is disabled. Because a lot of times, Trend Micro doesn't uninstall the other program. It just disables it itself and hides in the background. Windows is known for doing that.
Right.
But it's easy. It's easy stuff here. You've already done the one thing. We've already uninstalled your Trend Micro. That's gone. So then basically all you're going to do is just re-download the Security Defender.
Microsoft Security Essentials, MSE, right?
And you just go into Bing or Google and type MSE, and it's usually the first or second search result.
Yeah, MSE, Microsoft Security. Yeah, and I use Bing when I do that, and it is the first hit. And it'll take you, you select download and install, and it basically installs it. It'll perform that little scan again to see if you already have existing antivirus, and you've already uninstalled that portion of it, and then it'll just continue with the installation.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, it had already installed the new program.
Oh,
but I can't find it.
Well,
you cannot find it.
I would try rebooting. I would try rebooting and looking for it again.
And look for it at the bottom right corner by your time. You're going to have a little icon there that's either going to look like a little shield or a little bluish green house. And that's where you'll know you have it.
And you can always go into the search bar in Windows 7 and type in Security Essentials.
Correct.
So start, and then you type in the search bar Security Essentials, and it will, if it's installed, it'll find it in the search bar on the top left under Programs.
Yep.
And you can bring up the wizard then, and just to make yourself feel better. And if not, you can always go through the wizard again from the website. Yep. It'll say, I'm sorry, we're already installed.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, very good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for your call. Okay, let's go to Mike, who is calling us from Taylor downriver. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Very good. What can we do for you? Sure. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a real simple question. I have a Android LG Leon model smartphone, and I just use it really for simple tasks, just for work. I work out in the field remodeling, and it's less than a year old. It was about 10 months ago I purchased it, and it started acting very strangely about 3 weeks ago. It would power off in the middle of a phone call, and it wouldn't back on when I'd try to start it again. And I would go to use it at the beginning of a day after being charged, having a full battery charge, and it would just shut off. And it wouldn't come on for hours. So I finally got fed up with that and took it back to the store I purchased it from. And that gentleman showed me how to reboot the battery, just take it out and leave it out for more than 10 seconds and to let it...
doing like a hard reset on it. Okay.
Just do a hard reset so that I could get back up to full power and full function. And I did that, and it worked a few times, but it just went right back to powering off whenever it wanted to.
Really?
Yeah. So he never gave me a solution to actually take care of the problem other than buying another phone. And
well, it's quite possible. Have you gone into the Android phone and tried to do to check the manufacturer's site to see if there's a firmware upgrade? Because this really sounds like it's a charging or an overheating. Is the phone getting excessively hot?
No, not at all.
Oh, then okay. Then you might want to still try into the about. So go into settings and you scroll down to software updates or about. And usually you have the ability to check the manufacturer's site for an update. That may be a possibility. Shane, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I mean, a firmware software update is always a great step to first because it doesn't cost you anything and it's easy to do. Now, when you said you removed the battery and did that help?
It did initially. Yeah. I was very pleasantly surprised when I took it. He said take it out for more than 10 seconds and put it back in. And I did that, and it started right up. It was working fine.
To me, that's...
But then the problem came back the next day.
This problem exists in laptops as well. Whenever you've got a fault in the circuitry, There's an open, what I call an open short in the board or somewhere that's very susceptible to static. And what's happening is you're dissipating any static or any buildup of energy in this machine when you take that battery out for 5-10 minutes. It's not like it's resetting itself. You're like discharging the machine. You know, you're killing it of any kind of static or electricity. And usually, sometimes if there's a crack, some damaged solder, you open these boards up to this static, you know, susceptible to static charge. And a lot of times it just runs havoc, whether it just shuts them down, won't start them. It just does. If the upgrade,
so if there's a fault in the phone, probably.
If the upgrade to the firmware and the software does not work, you might want to look at either replacing the battery or getting a new phone.
Do you have a warranty on the phone?
The fault is with the battery or is with the circuit board?
The first thing, it's cheaper to replace the battery.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're not that expensive. You know, swap out the battery. If it works, great, you're done. It could have been a fault in the battery. If that's not the case, then more than likely you have some kind of a short in the motherboard or circuitry. That's my thought.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, Mike. I would definitely go back to them and say, look, you've got a problem. Is it under warranty? Still under warranty?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. They finally said, I went to another store, and he said, well, you're under warranty for a year from purchase, and if you take it to a corporate store, they'll replace the phone.
Yes.
So I went there, and he said, well, it's authorized for replace the phone. It's got the warranty authorization, but it's a $16 fee to replace the phone. I just wanted to ask
it's
you.
Worth that. Yeah.
It sounds like it's worth it. Okay, Mike,
so,
sorry, we've got to wrap on
we'll
that.
Talk to him afterwards.
Yeah, Mike, thanks so much for calling. Sorry we couldn't take a little more time with that. Thanks for the rest of you. Jim from Westland and Tim from Brighton. We'll see maybe if we can get to you after the show. Thank you all very much for being with us here, and thanks to all the folks who made this show possible. Take care. We'll see you next week on the Internet Advisor.